The Monty Show, Memorial Day weekend 2018. It's Friday, May 25th, and we've got Cavs and C's, Warriors and Rockets. Shohei Ohtani is a coward, eh? That's probably strong. New Jersey's going to have to pay an integrity fee. And Donald Trump can't block people on Twitter anymore. And we just had a huge fight about it before the show started.
Things got heated.
You know, that's
I literally almost got up and punched you in the face, like came across the table. But I decided that, you know, my button was bigger, and that's why I wouldn't do it.
Make sure you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. Subscribe to the podcast on SoundTunes? SoundCloud, iTunes, FaceSnap, SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, just search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. We'll get back to Trump and Twitter coming up in a bit, but first, I do want to get to this Cavs-Boston game. We're very early in the first quarter. Just your general thoughts on this now, going back to Cleveland for Game 6. Where are you at on this series? Because I'm firmly in the corner that Boston's the better team.
Yeah, I think Boston's been the better team, but I think just like in the West, you know, these teams have gone back and forth, and I think it's funny, this whole LeBron, you know, being tired thing is an interesting kind of revelation, because we've spent most of the end of the regular season and the beginning of the postseason talking about how LeBron's put all this money into his body, and he's an engineered athlete, and he never gets tired, and the minutes don't matter, and well, the minutes are starting to matter because he doesn't have anybody who's pulling with him. You know, he doesn't have a great supporting cast. And so when you have to do it alone, minutes start to matter. And so I think, you know, when you compare the age of the teams in this series, that's factor number one for me. That's a huge factor because I think Boston will not get tired at the rate that the Cavs get tired. Number two, I think the Boston Celtics are more capable of playing that team brand of basketball.
Ooh, Kevin Love back to the locker room. Kevin Love has gone back to the locker room. Oh, he took a huge, huge shoulder from Jason Tatum. Boy, this is a big deal now. Kevin Love is out of the game after a huge collision with Jason Tatum. See, this is what we're going to talk about with Chris Paul.
Yeah,
I know that he gets maligned a lot, and a lot of people love to pick on Kevin Love. I think he's an integral part of that team, and without him, I don't see any way they'd beat Boston tonight. No chance.
Yeah, and we see when the Cavs win, Kevin Love wins, right? Like Kevin Love, you know, has great starts to the game. He puts up between 20 and 24 points typically, gives you 10 to 15 rebounds on a great night, 15 on an average night, 10 to 11. You know, so when he's giving you that performance, that really helps LeBron. But again, if LeBron's getting really tired in this game, I they're going home. And that would be a shocking development for them to lose in Cleveland.
I don't view it that way. I really like Boston. I think the Celtics are the superior team athletically. I think their depth, their coaching, I think all of that combined just makes the Boston Celtics the better team. And I think at some point in LeBron's situation, you're going to hit that wall. It's impossible not to hit that wall. So this doesn't surprise me. The thing that bothered me a little bit today was the hype of, oh, if LeBron loses tonight, does it seal his fate in Cleveland?
Well, I think it's an end of an era, or it could be an end of an era. We don't know if he's going
this
to
leave or not.
This one game
is not going to be...
Dude, it's not about the one game. It's about his legacy. It's about him not getting to the finals for... I don't remember how many years in a row it is now. I think this would be his
20.
I think this would be his eighth year in a row. I believe eight is the number where he's gone to the finals. And again, that speaks to what I was just talking about. It adds up. And so if he loses tonight, if the Cavs lose tonight, that's an end of an era, especially if he leaves. It is. There's no way around it. It absolutely is. LeBron will not play for the Cleveland Cavaliers potentially again after this game if they lose.
Do you think he's made the decision already? Because me personally, I think he knows where he wants to go or doesn't want to go. Let's put it this way. LeBron's already made the decision if he's staying or going.
100%.
I think where he's going may be up in the air, but he's already made this decision if he's staying or going.
Yeah, I think LeBron's a businessman at heart, right? Like all of the superstar athletes, all the guys that have media companies outside of their NBA career and do all these other things besides basketball are businessmen. He knows that the next decision he makes with his basketball career will ultimately impact his family, impact where he is at in 10 years. Like, so it's not just about basketball, and I think people don't realize that. There's a lot on the line for his legacy, like if he goes to the Lakers or if he goes to Philly or wherever he may go, or if he stays in Cleveland. I mean, that's a real possibility too. So I don't know, but I'm with you. I think he knows if he's going to stay in Cleveland or leave Cleveland. Yeah. If he's going to leave Cleveland, if he's decided that, I don't think he knows specifically where he wants to go.
How much of this, though, like tonight, you're just seeing LeBron attack, 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 go to the basket, go to the basket.
Get to the line, man.
That's all he's doing in this game, and he just got his second layup. But that's all he's doing in this game. And this is the KD conversation from last night. I wonder if LeBron James cares to pass the basketball. I wonder if he embraces the idea that if they're going to win this game, that he can't do it on his own. I think there's a real question to be asked without Kevin Love, especially. Why would LeBron pass? Because who is he supposed to trust in this game? JR? He's not a trust JR. Yeah. George Hill, who has been nothing short of mediocre.
Well, let's be honest. His supporting cast has been inconsistent at best. Like, that is the best they're giving him, is inconsistency. And most often, they're not very good. And so I just think, yeah, I wouldn't be trusting people either. But you mentioned KD. His situation is totally different. I mean, he's literally playing with, what, three other superstars?
Yeah.
I mean, he's not playing with old J.R. Smith and Kevin Love and guys who sometimes get it done. Draymond's getting it done every night. Curry is suspect. Well, yeah, not last time. He dropped the pass. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, in the series, yes. Like, he's gotten it done. He's proved his worth once again. And I think last night, you know, when we're comparing KD and LeBron, KD hurt the Warriors last night. LeBron's never going to hurt the Cavs because it's his team and he runs the show.
They're dead even 8 minutes into the first quarter. Who's going to win this game?
I like the Celtics to win the game, but there's something in the back of my head that says, man, if this game's close and LeBron's on a mission, you just can't get away from that. I'm taking the Celtics, but
the Cavs are going to get all the calls. I think we all know
100%
that.
100% agree.
Cavs are going to get the calls. I think the athleticism and the depth is too much. I think when you can bring in the Marcus Smarts of the world, when you can bring in guys like, you know, Marcus Morris off the bench and get big contributions from them, and you're still bringing Jalen and Rozier. Jalen Brown's an interesting discussion, too, because he hasn't been scintillating like he had been. He's not been the same player since the injury. So it'll be interesting to see what they get from him. But I think they're going to win this. And, oh, by the way, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because whoever wins the West, I think, is the superior team, without question.
100% agree. And I think Boston would have put up more of a fight in the finals than the Cavs would. But I also think everybody wants to see the Celtics in the finals. I think people want to see something new. People don't want to see Cavs, Warriors every single year for the rest of our life.
I can get down with that. I think there's some truth in there. Because I think people are a little burned out on the Cavs. And I think a Golden State Boston series, I think, would do very well.
Yeah.
Is Houston a big draw? And this is an interesting conversation. Let's get to Golden State and Houston. Because I think Golden State and Houston, you have a guy in James Harden who's missed his last 20 three-point shots. He's 0 for his last 20 from beyond the three-point line. You have a guy in Chris Paul now who's going to miss game 6 and may be available for game 7, they're not saying.
And he won't be 100% for game 7, even if he plays.
Is James Harden getting exposed a little bit here? Because Chris Paul, I thought, had some real dominant moments last night. And then he gets hurt, goes out, and James Harden's still 0 for 20. Asked about his shooting slump, he's like, who cares? Finally, people are looking at James Harden, what I've been saying for 10 days. The guy's in a slump.
Yeah.
And finally, somebody asks him about it, and he's like, bah, who cares? I care. I think Rocket fans care.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I think I wouldn't expect him to say anything different. I mean, what, is he not going to shoot the ball? Right? Is he not going to shoot the ball? No, you're going to ask him to keep shooting the ball. He will find the range eventually. And for me, if I'm the Warriors, you got to know that that's coming back eventually. Like, you can't keep counting on him going 0 for or 1 for 11 or whatever it was last night. You know,
he's going to have to be a 50-point guy if they're going to win game 6. Without Chris Paul, I think he's going to have to be a 50-point guy.
He's either going to be a 50-point guy or they're going to find a way to use Harden as a distraction or a decoy. And he's going to have to kick it.
But who's even able to step up on that team?
Like, what do you mean? As a secondary player?
Yeah. Who's a guy?
I think you could get good contribution out of Gerald Green. I think you have to get P.J. Tucker to give you a time.
I think the guy is Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon is the absolute guy who has to step into CP3's role.
I just don't think he's obviously not the caliber CP3 is, but I think what you're asking him to do is to just score more. Just score more. Get more layups, you know, just pump it up a little bit.
Yeah, and I that's the only way I see them winning at all. Because unless somebody steps up with a 30-point game, I think it's going to have to be Harden being out of his mind. I think he'd have to have a 45, 50-point game. And a guy like an Eric Gordon, Trevor Ariza will have to shoot like 8 of 10 from 3. Like, somebody's going to have to match James Harden.
Yeah.
And just go bananas on it.
Yeah, I mean, but look, I also agree with what Steve Kerr said. You know, he likes where they're at. And I actually don't, I'm not terrified of where the Warriors are at, by the way. I mean, I think a lot of people are saying, well, they're going home now. They're going to have to win 2 in a row. Well, look, they're if any team's capable of doing it, they're capable of doing it. They're
I hate where the
themselves.
Warriors are at. I they're playing so down to the Rockets with this Kevin Durant situation. He killed them last night. There's no other way to look at this or swing it or try to spin the fact that Kevin Durant hurt the Golden State Warriors with his ISO play, his refusal to pass. In a timeout, Steve Kerr's got to pull him aside and say, hey, look, you got to trust these guys. Hello, you're playing with Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Draymond Green, and you've got to remind Kevin Durant that he needs to trust his teammates? Like, what are you doing?
I mean, you've had a tumultuous season, by the way. I mean, it's not as though – I'm not trying to make an excuse for the guy, but I'm just saying, you know, at some point, you know, they're in a heated moment in that game. He's a scorer. He's going to do what he's going to do.
Kevin Durant is not – an elite basketball player in the NBA. That's what this is showing. He's not LeBron. He's not who's the second best scorer in the NBA? He's not Russell Westbrook. I'm taking KD over Russ just because
James Harden's the best pure scorer in the game. I think Kyrie's probably second in just being able to put the ball in the hole any way you want to do it. And then KD's right there.
Not in the pressure moments. I can't put James Harden there. Because the only thing I care about is winning championships. We've had all these conversations about LeBron James being the best player ever, and I'm telling you, you can't be the best player ever when you lose more in the NBA Finals than you win. That's what has he got, 3 rings?
He's 3-5.
You can't do that. You can't do that. There's no way to calculate what somebody's going to do when the biggest time in their career comes up. James Harden is 0 for his last 20 3-point field goals in the Western Conference Finals. He's not an elite player. Period. End of story. If Michael Jordan had gone 0 for his 20 or whatever, do they beat the Jazz? Do they beat the Suns? Do they beat Seattle, Portland, Detroit, the Knicks, Indiana? You know, I don't think so.
Just being honest, I don't know, because I didn't get to watch Jordan. I mean, you're saying that he wouldn't. What I'm saying is that, you know, at a certain point, KD is an elite basketball player. I mean, there's no question about it. I mean, the guy...
He has not been in the last three games.
Last night, he wasn't an elite player. I mean, yeah, he hurt them last night. Dude, he's dominated the Rockets, like, any way you slice it. Like,
But last night, he scored 29 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not that he's scoring a lot of points. And this is what Jake says on Twitter. I think it is a really good point. He's saying that Klay Thompson has to be involved more. And I agree with that, especially when KD is struggling. I agree with that 100%. Like, Klay Thompson has had his struggles in this series. Last night was not one of those nights. 4 of 7 from 3. Where was Klay on the last possession?
I don't know. The last possession is not anybody's fault. It is the team's fault, because collectively you went out and said, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. That's what happened. Steve Kerr drew up a play, and you can't tell me there aren't times where the players disagree with what Steve Kerr does, because I don't know who in their right mind thought that was a good play. Whatever that play is called is not a good play.
Well, I think, and if you believe what they were saying, and nobody wanted to talk about what the specific play was, but... Colin Cowherd today had a breakdown of it, and he was talking about how that ball was supposed to go to Draymond Green, who was going to hand it back to Steph and set a little pick at the top of the key. And Steph was either going to shoot if he was open or kick it into the corner. And why? But my question is, why would Steph give that up? He wasn't pressured. He wasn't double teamed. He had 2 feet in front of him before anybody was even standing there.
Plenty of space.
Like, why is he giving that up? This is what I don't understand about these super teams. And I'm not trying to be a jerk about the Warriors. I feel like this is going to sound like me being a jerk. Is Steph Curry the guy you want with the ball in his hands with a championship on the line?
Hell no. Not when you have Kevin Durant on your team, dude.
Kevin Durant has turned into an ISO player.
Right, and in that moment, that's what you need. That is absolutely what you need.
I think what you need is...
What
you
did
need
LeBron
the...
do against the Raptors to win that game?
I that's a totally different situation. LeBron's a man on his own, right? He's got no help. You've got three legitimate superstar scoring options. Run your offense with 6.7 seconds to go. Run your offense.
I just don't think that's, in my opinion, and maybe I'm just foolish, but I don't think that's how that situation's ever going to go. You're not with 6 seconds left. Well, but seriously, look back at all the great moments in the NBA at the end of the game. Tell me a time when a team ran an offensive set, like a true offensive set.
Jordan beat the why did the Bulls beat the Suns?
I don't know.
They ran an offensive set, and John Paxson was right where he was supposed to be, and Horace Grant passed him the ball, and he hit a three. That's why. Why is Steve Kerr hit one of the biggest shots in the history of Chicago Bulls basketball? Because they moved the ball. Like, you cannot play isolation basketball and expect to be elite. And I'm sorry, James Harden is not proving to be a big-time player. It's great you do that in the regular season. Congratulations on that regular season MVP. What did Shaq say to Charles Barkley? I'll take the NBA Finals MVP. That's the one I want. You can have your regular season MVP. Like, if you don't win a championship, what good is it? Why did Kevin Durant go to Golden State to win championships?
And he's done that.
James Harden hasn't. Right. I'm not comparing the two. I get that Kevin Durant's your guy. He killed them last night.
Right,
and he killed them the night before.
I'm not running from that.
You cannot play isolation basketball in this league, especially in the half court, especially when things are frenetic. The best teams are able to execute their offense, and that's what's hurting the Warriors. They've gotten away from who they are. They don't move. There's this old saying that you move the body, move the ball. They're not moving the body, and they're not moving the ball. And you know, my old guy, good old Round Lake Senior High School, Ron Sopocek, always used to say, if you can catch the ball, you can play in this game. I can put you on the floor if you can just catch the ball.
Yeah.
Draymond Green couldn't catch the ball last night in the most critical moment.
Yeah, he failed.
Man.
He failed.
That's why I just... It's great that you put all these superstars together. If Ray Allen doesn't hit that shot out of the corner, history is different, right? History is different. And if LeBron and Wade and Bosh don't win, history writes a different tale. You have to put super teams together. I get that's how the league is now, but you damn well better win. You better win. Because Mike and the Jordanaires, that's not realistic anymore. We're watching it in Cleveland with LeBron and his teammates. You know, it's not realistic. I don't know. I am incredibly disappointed in the Golden State Warriors. And you said something last night that makes a lot of sense. Golden State comes back and wins this series now without Chris Paul. What are they going to say?
They're completely discredited.
Yeah.
I mean, the series win is discredited, and I don't think that's a stretch or a farce or it's made up. I think it's absolutely true because it is discredited. I would discredit it. You're beating the Rockets at essentially half strength because, in my opinion, there's not a more influential player on that team than Chris Paul. He is the motor on that
team.
He's
their best player right now.
He's the guy, whatever term you want to use. He gets that offense going. And by the way, he is mocking Curry in the game and showing them up and like doing all the stuff that you want your best player to do.
Yeah.
I actually
liked the shoulder shimmy that Chris Paul did. I thought it was, and Steph laughed about it. And I'm good with all that. That's why Chris Paul came to Houston. They needed somebody who had a bad attitude in big moments, and that's Chris Paul.
Yeah, he's a punk, dude. That's what he is.
they're going to lose, in my opinion, without him. I think they're going to get stoned in game six. I think they're going to go back to Roracle and get run out of the building. And now it's game seven, and Chris Paul, even if he plays, isn't going to be 100%.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. I think, as you always say, I think we part ways just a little bit on like where the Warriors are at. I think you think that, you know, they've embarrassed themselves last night, and it was disappointing.
I didn't say they embarrassed themselves.
I was upset. I was upset with the way they finished the game. Like it was not a good finish. They didn't finish. You know, they had one good quarter, in my opinion, which was a third quarter, which they do every single game. Yep. They're the best third quarter team in the NBA. Everyone knows it. You know, so I'm not surprised
at
all.
And why though? Because Steph gets going, because they run these double screens for him, and
but I don't even feel like the Rockets do anything to take the Warriors out of their rhythm. I feel like the Warriors start pressing, they turn the ball over, and as you say, they get cute sometimes, which they have done that a lot in this series.
And they go, and Kevin Durant wants to all of it. And I don't know why he's doing this. He will not pass the ball. He gets that ball
right,
with 16
say,
seconds on the clock, and it never comes out of his hand.
But we praise him when he goes for 40 doing that, and then we roast him when he goes for 29 doing that.
No, I'm not... Guy, I'm not roasting him because he scored 29. I just told you I thought he didn't have a bad game. The problem is he kills them because he takes them out of what they're best at.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's James Harden scoring 41. Who cares? He's 0 for his last 20 from three, and they're in tight games because he's shooting terribly. And he's dominating going to the basket, but he wants to shoot threes. Like, I don't give a damn how many points Kevin Durant scores. When you go 3-4 possessions straight, shooting into a double team, not passing the ball, shooting fadeaways out of a double team in the post last night. When you have two of the best shooters that have ever played in the NBA on your team, you're fading away out of a double team. Kevin Durant killed the Warriors last night, and he still scored 29 points. Again, four rebounds. My biggest issue is not the points, it's the assists. Kevin Durant, do you realize how many assists do you think Kevin Durant had last night?
Less than five.
How about zero? Kevin Durant didn't have a single assist in the game last night. And when you start looking at his assist numbers...
Listen, I mean, yeah, I get your point. I mean, part of that is he didn't pass. Most of it is he didn't pass. But some of that, of course, is that guys weren't making shots either. I mean, I think it's a combination of both, but mostly that he wasn't passing and he was playing hero ball.
Both the games that they have played terribly in, he's had zero assists. He's had, in five games, he's had 10 assists total. And two of those are zeros. He had one six-assist game. Like, do you understand that this guy just is not passing the ball? He's a black hole. And that's why these games are so tight. Because he won't pass the ball. They won 126-85 in the game that he had six assists and played 35 minutes. We can go round and round about this. Kevin Durant is hurting them on a regular basis. And it's just in this series. Because in the New Orleans series, 7-5-3, 7-2 assists. In the San Antonio series, 5-2, 6-6, and 7. Distributing the ball, rebounding the ball. By the way, he's not rebounding at all. You know, he's got to have 10 rebounds. He's got one good rebound game, 12, when they lost 95-92 the other day.
Yeah.
So Kevin Durant's killing them. It's got nothing to do with points. We all look at box scores and we're like, oh, he scored 38 points. Who cares? You know, like it's that 28 points on 26 shots thing. Like if you're not efficient, it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It really, I know it's crazy. Hey, by the way, there's some media reporting that Paul George is telling people he's staying in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, well, he's a fool.
Believe it or
not.
But do you believe it?
I don't believe it. I think it's too early. I think if you're Paul George, why would you come out and say that? It literally makes no sense.
Well, he's telling people privately is what is being said, that he believes the Andre Roberson injury is why they lost.
Okay, well, I don't know what he's looking at because I don't agree with that at all. I mean, it's not as though Andre Roberson was going to win you a series. I mean, they got outplayed on several different levels. So.
Look out, by the way. The Cavs get a three-pointer to take the lead, and then Marcus Morris commits an offensive foul on a screen.
They're young.
So now the Cavs have the lead and the ball, 7:58 to go in the first half. So you don't think Paul George is staying there?
I just think it's too early. I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't seem credible on any level. That's when someone's reporting, well, Paul George is privately telling people that he's staying in OKC. Why would he say that? Like, why?
No idea.
It's way too early. Like, you don't know where LeBron's going. You don't know where Kawhi wants to go. Like, you can't foreshadow into the future at all. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem credible on any level. And that's why I say, like, that's why you have to be careful what you trust and what you read, because it's really cool and hip, and you'll get a lot of likes on Twitter for saying, well, Paul George is telling his friends and his boys that he's staying in OKC.
Oh, the Cavs are getting calls. I mean, like, Al Horford just got raked across the arms under the basket. No call. They see, and not to be a conspiracy theorist, I promise you.
It's not
you,
a conspiracy.
I promise you, I took the tinfoil off the windows, okay? The NBA wants a game 7 in this series.
Yeah, and to be clear, the game is not rigged, but what they're doing is they're pushing it in a certain direction.
Yeah.
And if you watch the games, and if you hit pause, rewind, and watch the play again, and just look for the foul, you can see what they're doing. I mean, it's not it's not as though it's hidden. It's right in front of us. The game is just so fast that if you don't take a second look, you won't see it.
Hey, speaking of fixed, let's talk about gambling. So that everybody realizes that a couple of weeks ago, Supreme Court basically said that states can legalize gambling. New Jersey, right out of the box, they're ready to rock and roll here Memorial Day weekend.
This guy almost fell in this country when that happened.
Yeah, so exactly right. People freaked out. So the leagues lost, essentially. All the major sports leagues lost. So what they have done now is they've attacked New Jersey. The NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, and the PGA sent lobbyists to the New Jersey legislature for a 1% tax that gets kicked back to those leagues as an integrity fee, to make sure that the games remain intact and played with integrity now that legalized gambling's happening. And the only league not involved in this is the NFL, who didn't lobby New Jersey because they're going to lobby the United States Congress for nationwide regulatory schemes for an integrity fee. They want taxes from gambling kicked back to the leagues to make sure that nobody cheats in the leagues. And I just say to myself, hey, so you're telling me people are cheating now? And because of gambling, that cheating and point shaving is going to go away? Because I'm telling you now, it's not going to change. What's happening now is going to continue to happen now.
That's what I'm saying. This whole gambling thing, everyone's all excited about it. It's a great idea. And I'm just saying, this thing's a can of worms, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew once that got legalized that this was going to open up all kinds of different things. You knew right away, of course, that people were going to say, well, it's legal in New Jersey. That means it's legal everywhere.
But what kind of a-hole are you if you're the NBA, the PGA Tour? No offense. Who the hell are you on the PGA Tour to be like, hey, you got to kick us down a 1% fee so that we have integrity on the tour?
Yeah, there's that kid in high school that just runs along with the gang to be cool. Right?
What? Yeah, like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
Go back to your white pants and your
four irons.
Go back
to Pebble Beach, bro.
Get out of here with the integrity fee for the PGA Tour. But how gangster is the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, and the NFL being like, yeah, we want all these states to kick us down 1% for no reason other than mama needs a new ring. You know what I'm saying?
Cough it up.
Yeah, let's go. I need a new rig. Look, the Jaguars got to get traded in. And by the way, I need some low pros and a new wheel package, 1% right here. Like, that's what this is. That's what this is.
This is flipping the bird to anybody who likes gambling.
That's these leagues walking in with their nice silk shirts and mock turtlenecks into a bodega in New York saying, hey, be a real shame if this bodega burned down. Could prevent that if you kick me 1%. Like, that's what this is.
Yeah, man.
Why, if you're a league, yes. If you're the state of New Jersey, why would you pay them anything? You beat them in the Supreme Court of the United States.
You don't need to do anything.
I would be like, kick rocks. Get out an integrity fee. You want
that's called pushing somebody down right there.
Like, call it something else. Call it like a stream of information technology fee. We'll like plug you right into Matrix. Give me something in integrity. Get out of here. What a joke. I mean, anyway, I was in Vegas last week. I'm not sure that I've ever said this. I was in Vegas last week and did not bet or gamble a single dime. Not once.
Impressive.
Now, I spent a nice chunk of change at, you know, Mastro's Ocean Club.
Well, of course.
Sat in a treehouse. Yeah. You know, at City Center there.
Yep.
But I did not gamble. I only had one drink.
Drinks there are strong.
You know.
Drinks there
are strong. I did not have a martini at the Ocean Club.
Last time we went together.
Okay, so, yeah. Oh, man. We had like 7 martinis.
Oh, man.
I threw up all over the bathroom at the Palms at like 5 in the morning.
It's rough, dude.
Ugh. Terrible.
But the steak was good.
Oh, it was amazing. Was amazing. Anyway, here near there. Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We, for those of you just tuning in on Periscope.
Yeah.
We had an epic fight before the show over Donald Trump not being allowed now by law to block people on Twitter. And you're all up in arms about
this.
Well,
look.
First of all, do you support Donald Trump? Did you vote for him?
No. Don't support him. You're the guy who says that, you know, people shouldn't root for him to fail. I root for him to not be president anymore. If that's him failing or not, whatever, dude. I'm just tired
of it. A big believer in if Donald Trump fails as the president of the United States, we as Americans are worse off for that. And one of the things that I was talking about this week was when the summit in North Korea fell apart. Now, today we learned didn't fall apart.
Yeah.
But when we found out that Donald Trump had at least postponed the summit with North Korea, people were celebrating that as a failure of Donald Trump. Like, people were joking on Twitter about, oh, well, better not get that Nobel Peace Prize all engraved just yet. And I'm like, look, that's true. That's very true. But can we not, like, gloat and celebrate that there are freaking crazy people with nuclear weapons in North Korea? Now that maybe had the summit happened, maybe we would have been able to negotiate the nukes off of the Korean Peninsula, which is a win-win for everybody. Open up free trade with Korea and China, and yeah, it's all good, right? No. Nah, Trump's a lying a-hole.
Well, he is.
He is a lying a-hole. That's I get true. It. He did a thing at the...
right there. Just stop right there. Donald Trump did a thing.
You know, hey,
Donnie did a thing.
We're
in trouble. We are in absolute trouble, dude.
We're probably going to have to fix this because Donnie did a thing.
You might want to put the tinfoil back up on the windows.
But so Donald Trump gives the commencement speech today at the United States Naval Academy in Annapolis.
Yeah.
And of course, because we're out for blood in America,
as always,
there were people critiquing his speech. And he lied 6 times in 2 minutes in the middle of this commencement speech in Annapolis.
Integrity's coming up on this show a lot today.
There you go. Maybe Don needs to kick down an integrity fee to the, you know, the United States Navy. Or something like that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, no. He lied, apparently, 6 times in 2 minutes. Like, he said that there's never been... that there had never been, you know, this few ships in the United States Navy. And people are like, no, dude, there's more ships now than there's ever been. He talked about... I can't remember what it was. Pay raises for naval officers... We haven't had a pay raise, and it's like, no, that's actually
Hello.
Not true. They've had pay raises every year.
Yeah.
He said that here it is. The number of ships in the Navy today is not the smallest since World War I. Donald Trump, and this is the thing that kills me about people that lie as a matter of business practice, right? As his modus operandi, and he admitted this to Leslie Stahl from 60 Minutes, that he lies about people so that if those people get, you know, dirt on him, that he can continue to perpetuate that they're dishonest, thereby discrediting the dirt that they have on him. So he said today, oh, the United States Navy hasn't had this few ships in its spectacular, awesome, best in history time of life since World War I.
Quite a statement.
And of course, some a-hole on Twitter's like, hey, no, that's a, excuse me, Master President.
Hey, yeah, me over here.
Hey, Donnie, over here, bud. That's not true. There's 283 ships in the Navy, and in 2007, they had 279. So we're not going backward, we're going forward.
Yeah.
Then Donnie's like, under my huge, freaking, awesome, biggest ever budget here in the freaking United States... we're going to have 355 of these damn new ships coming very soon.
all of them will be named the USS Donald J. Trump.
The USS Don, the Donald, the Doninator, Doninator Jr. Anyway, point is...
Rocket Man.
USS Rocket Man Killer. But it, so he's like, we're going to have 355 ships very soon. That'll be the greatest Navy ever seen of ever in time piece of history. And of course, the a-holes on Twitter are like, the Navy's 30-year plan says it will not get to that level of 355 new ships until 2050.
Hey, bud, that's not in a week from now. That's like... you know, 50 years from
so
now.
So it could possibly be accelerated to the 2030s. Either way, it's not soon, asshole. Sorry, I channeled my Sipowicz.
Oh my God.
But the last one that I thought was hysterical was, in fact, the pay raises.
Yes.
Because Donald Trump went on to say, this year's military pay raise is the first pay raise in 10 years, because Donald Trump wants all of you, because he's standing talking to midshipmen.
Yeah.
Donald Trump, that's me, by the way.
Talking
Donald Trump wants all of you to be able to afford anything that you want under this greatest controversial president thing ever.
You're fired.
You're fired. Stormy Daniels knows about it because she's a seaman too. Anyway, the point
you're gonna
is.
You're going to need a big ship in that storm.
Did you not hear what I said? Stormy Daniels,
yeah,
she's a seaman too. Seaman and Stormy together.
I get
together.
The connection. Plug it in.
You plug
know?
It in with the seaman. Anyway, the point is...
connection.
They haven't had a pay raise in 10 years. There were pay raises in each of the past 10 years.
Fake news.
And some were higher than this year's pay raise that Donald Trump gave. In the Obama years, Obama was giving 3.9 and 3.4... and Donald Trump gave the biggest pay raise in the history of seamen. See, that came out wrong. What I meant to say was you all have seamen, but you're called seamen. Anyway, I gave you 2.4 in Barack Hussein from Africa.
And more ships, too.
Where's his birth certificate from Hawaii that's from Africa? Anyway, the point is, listen, I'm the greatest president ever. 2.4, you should be licking my shoes, you seamen, you. Anyway, I have no idea what happened to the show, but, you know, anyway, the point is...
thank you.
Thank you. The point is the seamen got a 2.4% raise. The Navy, or the military, got a 2.4% raise this year. And they've gotten a raise every fiscal year for the last 10 years. So he just straight... like, bro, you're standing there talking to our military...
is the commander in chief.
I am the overlord of everything, including you seamen.
Lots of bald eagles.
And I just want you to know that your armor is nice and thick, you seamen. But anyway, the point is, he's standing there talking to this commencement at the Naval Academy, and he's freaking lying through his teeth, right? Like he's
the
just.
The fake teeth or the real teeth?
The hairdo thing.
Oh, okay.
He's lying to them, just like, and people are calling him out on Twitter, like left and right.
He's blocking them so he can't see them.
So this brings me back to the other part that has nothing to do with semen. Okay, this is, I promise, no more semen talk on Semen Live. The point is, Donald Trump is not allowed to block people on Twitter. And I think it was last week the court said, no, that is refusing people's First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
Because Donald Trump, the greatest president ever for semen, said that that's his official line of communication. And what's her name, the communications lady?
Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
Yeah, the Sanders thing. She essentially said, hey, these are all official statements.
Yeah.
That if all of you seamen want to follow, I'll stop. The point is, everything that Donald Trump says on Twitter is an official statement.
Yeah.
It goes in the National Archives of comments from the president. So you can't block, Donald Trump cannot block people on Twitter because he is denying their First Amendment right to free speech when they criticize him. So what he was doing, Donald Trump was blocking people that were critical of him. and a lot of people. So he cannot do that anymore. And I'm just asking, I know that he's the greatest hair coif ever. Yidge, my coif is huge.
My block button is bigger than yours.
Look at this red tie. It's long and thick. It's amazing.
And my navy jacket.
Yeah, you know, semen. And anyway, the point is...
Make America great again.
MAGA. The point is, you're the president of the United States and you're a Twitteraholic and you don't know what mute is?
Yeah, that's surprising.
It's a simple little thing, Donnie. Like, all he has to do.
Just like on the TV remote when you watch Fox and Friends. You know, mute button.
Yeah, how about him going on Fox and Friends this week?
Yeah.
He was on, again, he was on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
So.
It's his show.
Which, it is his show.
Yeah.
Point being, all he has to do is hit mute. And this whole blocking people on Twitter thing goes away. But he won't do that. It is the most bizarre thing I think that I've ever seen, that a grown-ass man who uses Twitter five, six times a day, like, I mean, he literally, he's obsessive about it. Like, it's all he does.
Yeah.
The other thing I find fascinating about Donald Trump right now is that he will not use a secure frickin' phone.
Amazing.
Like, so Donald Trump's preferred modus of transportation, of communication, rather, in transporting
big
things.
Ships.
When he wants to call somebody, he picks up an iPhone and calls them. Well, the president is supposed to use a secure connection on a cell phone. And what they do on those phones that are secure, they take out the camera, they take out like the flash. They take out all kinds of software, all kinds of capabilities. It is a two-way communication device. That's it.
Yeah.
And he won't do it. He will not do it. By the way, the Cavs are up 11. 3 minutes to go in the first half.
It's LeBron at home, dude. I'm telling you.
Well, J.R. Smith is actually doing something. Anyway.
Yidge.
Anyway.
Yeah.
That's my point.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree with the actual law. My point is it's frustrating that, you know, on top of the Rocket Man controversy, on top of him lying every 2 seconds, on top of, like, all this other stuff, we got to hear about Twitter.
I think he averages, wasn't it 31, six lies a day or something like that?
Yeah, there's a stat out there.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Dude, it's painful, bro. It's absolutely painful.
Yeah, let's talk, before we get out of here, let's talk a little baseball. Because I'm sure people at this point are like, are we dumb talking semen? Ohtani is not going to pitch Sunday against the Yankees. Tanaka, I guess it is.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. Well, the reason everybody wanted him to pitch and the reason that the Japanese baseball crowd bought so many tickets, and they actually did. They bought a ton of tickets, dude, like a massive amount of tickets.
It was going to be essentially a national holiday in Japan.
Yeah, it was essentially a Japanese game because it was Tanaka versus Ohtani. And then Mike Socha, actually, Ohtani cut himself from the start, and it left everybody wondering, why the hell did they do that? The official reason was that they wanted to manage his innings amount.
Which is just ridiculous.
The most he's ever done is 140, somewhere in that neighborhood. I mean, the guy's your premier starter. He's going to get up to, you know, hopefully around 180, 190 at least.
He's pitching once a week.
Right, but over the course of a season.
Right.
I'm not defending their decision to cut him on this particular start.
But he's pitching once a week. Not once every 5 days. He's pitching one time every 7 days.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in a rotation. He pitches once every 7 days. And it's you can't make this happen on a Sunday? What?
Yeah, like, I mean, it's awfully convenient.
It makes it appear that Shohei Ohtani does not want to, A, pitch at Yankee Stadium, and B, face another Japanese player. And I it's baffling to me because it would be a massive happening. In his home country, in this country,
yeah,
it was all set up. And this is the second time he's had the opportunity to do it, and he absolutely passed.
The first time was a legit reason. I believe they got rained out in the first opportunity they got to have that matchup.
Yeah.
So everybody was looking forward to this matchup because obviously the first one got rained out. And so it is, I agree with you, it is awfully convenient for him to not pitch this start, to not take the start. I don't get it. I don't understand it. You're the Angels. You're playing the Yankees. Like, that's a pretty good matchup this year. Like, the Angels are actually decent this year. Like, you know, so I don't know. It's surprising to say the least, but it doesn't make it look like he doesn't want to face the Yankees.
Yeah, absolutely it does.
And that says a lot about who he is, if that's in fact true, which I'm not saying it is, but if it is true, it says a lot.
But this is all on Ohtani. because 100%. He's the one that from day one has set his path. It's why he wound up in Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to pitch in the big leagues and he didn't want to go down to AAA.
Yeah.
Any other club, I think, sent him down to AAA after the spring he had. Now, he's proven all of those doubters wrong. But yeah. Then why not take the ball Sunday against Tanaka?
I don't know. It does beg the question. I mean, I think most guys, Japanese or of another descent, would have a sense of pride. Like, with what he's done and the numbers he's put up, they would say, hey, look, I can do this. I've dominated teams. That splitter's been filthy. Like, so I want to go out against the New York Yankees, arguably the best team in the league by some standards, and dominate them. And I want that opportunity in Yankee Stadium. I don't know why you would turn that down.
I don't know either.
It's amazing to me, and I hope this isn't a trend that we see. I hope it's not, hey, well, I'm going to pitch every seventh day and only when it's convenient or only when it's against, you know, not the best team in the league.
Dude, LeBron is just getting call after call after call. Like, Jason Tatum knocked the ball out of his hand, and they called a foul. I mean, if the Cavs don't win this game, I'd be stunned because they're getting every single call.
We knew this was coming, right? Like, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. They're going to get every call, and the NBA wants Game 7 in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
Not surprised.
All right. Hey, by the way, before we leave.
Yeah.
What do you think of Alexa?
I don't like it at all.
Because we have an Echo. We have two Echos in our house. One in the master bedroom, one in the office. And she will periodically just turn on. Well, then comes this story out of Portland, Oregon, where a couple was in their house and they were discussing new flooring. Boy, now it's a blowout. 52-38 Cleveland. They were discussing flooring. And they get a text message from an employee of the husband that says, hey, you guys need to know that you're getting hacked. I'm getting messages from your Alexa. Hi, Alexa.
Hello.
Hello. There she is. We have the volume turned way down, which is a huge mistake. Anyway, so they were talking about flooring and apparently said something that sounded like Alexa. So she started texting his employee.
Hey, baby.
And it was conversations about new flooring in their house. But what if it had been a deeply private conversation?
Yeah.
What if it had been about pregnancy or criminal activity or...
Yeah, any number of things.
And so we have two of these Echos in our house. I don't really use it that much. Frankly, we use it to turn on and off lights. That's why we use it. We don't use it to look stuff up or play music. Or I think my wife uses it to play music sometimes. She has a playlist with Alexa, but...
I just don't trust it, man. It's just another thing in the line of things that can spy on you.
So what they're saying, what Amazon is saying is, well, hey... This couple had the volume on their Echo turned all the way down, so they couldn't hear her when she was talking to them. Because if you activate Alexa, she'll say, hi, I'm here. What can I do for you?
Yeah.
If I say, hey, Alexa, turn on the entryway light.
Yeah.
The entryway light will, she'll say, okay, and the entryway light will turn on.
Right.
Well, if your volume's down, like ours is, you don't hear her saying, okay, or... Joey by the Beatles. You don't hear her talking.
Yeah.
So you don't know that she's going to send a message. You don't know that she's going to send an email.
Yeah.
Because when she does that, she prompts you. I say she, the Echo, it's a female voice. So they say, A, make sure your volume's turned all the way up. B, name it, the trigger word needs to be something other than Alexa.
Yeah.
Because they say that you should customize that to something very different.
And unique.
You know, like poopy diapers.
Yeah.
Hey, poopy diapers. Like, you're never going to trigger that, right?
Yeah.
So they say customize that. But you're of the belief that the Echo listens all the time.
100%. Just like the Xbox does. Because there's no way it's not listening. It has to be constantly listening to hear at all times of the day.
But does that mean it's recording? Does that mean it? Well, I mean, like, what does that mean to you?
I think there's a chance. I think it just means that it could be compromised and somebody could record you. Yeah. Just like they could on your iPhone, just like they could on my iPad that's sitting in front of me.
Do you care?
Yeah, I mean, I would care if it was sending it to employees or work people or people I didn't want it to be sent to.
Yeah.
Or like, it's just a breach of privacy. It's one of those things.
But again, they say if you leave your volume up, you will hear her saying, send message to
Jimmy.
You know, Jimmy. You'll hear that. So is it that you need to have the volume up or you just don't trust the unit at all?
I'm not saying that Amazon is recording us and intentionally, like, taking advantage of us. I'm not saying that.
Oh, right. You're more worried about the hacking ability.
Yeah, I'm worried about the fact that a private conversation in your master bedroom before you go to bed with your wife could be recorded.
Or having sex or
anything.
Any
like,
private
anything
moment.
Anything that happens behind closed doors that is a private conversation that the world should not hear.
Well, we have home security. We have cameras in our house.
Yeah.
That worries me, you know, because I have a camera in my living room.
And Vivian can pull it at any time.
Yeah, and by the way, we've repopulated the earth in our living room in the past. I mean, like, it
but, see, like, somebody seeing you doing that is like, okay, well, I mean, so what are you going to do with it, right? Like, I'm just saying that if you're talking about your finances or your marriage or your kid or, like, whatever, you know, like, there are things everybody listening to this show knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
There are topics in your life that you don't want the world to know about, that the world shouldn't know about. It's
I
called
agree.
Privacy.
Yep.
And in this day of tech, there is very limited privacy.
Yeah, I don't know that there's any such thing as privacy.
Yeah, I mean, there really isn't.
I'm more worried about my cell phone than I am about, like, because we don't have the Xbox, whatever, Kinect.
Kinect, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have that connected.
We have it, but it's not connected.
Yeah, and the Xbox will just make noise, like the disc inside will be spinning just randomly.
Yep.
So the Xbox never truly turns off.
Yeah.
The Echo, I think, is always on. You know,
if
like,
it has power, it's on.
Yeah.
Like,
but my iPad, my iPhone, like, you know, frankly, I don't know how, like, dudes get away with cheating on their wives or whatever. Like, my wife can read my text messages when I'm not home on my iPad. Like, my emails all on my iPad. Like, I mean, it's not rocket science. We're all so connected these days.
Yeah.
I'm not as worried about Alexa as I am about my iPhone. Like, it scares me.
Well, the risk is bigger on the iPhone. There's no question about it. But what I'm saying is, like, in that specific example that we talked about, they had a conversation about flooring, and it got sent to one of his employees.
That's a true story in Portland, like, Oregon. It's like, on my Twitter feed, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty
That
Show.
Conversation should never leave the house if they don't want it to.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. That's really my biggest thing, is conversations and content that are created in your house that are supposed to be private and that are very deeply important / concerning / influential inside your house shouldn't leave the house.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you. I guess that's it. 53 minutes on a Friday. You know, I'm
nice.
Good with it.
Yeah, solid.
All right. Make sure you find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. Like, we didn't cover, like, four things that we have to cover. Good turn. We could keep going. No, we probably shouldn't. There you go. Google Play, iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your favorite podcast, make sure you search The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show. We'll talk to you on Monday. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.